Okay, so we were picking up at the Gemara and the Yud Aleph. So Gemara first starts by citing a variant of the first halacha in the Mishnah. Anantanina sheyeshba. The Mishnah said that any sa'a of seeds in which there's a rova of a different kind, you have to minimize it. You have to reduce it. Itanaitani shenafal letocha. But there's an alternative version where it says that something fell into it. Now, what's the significance of that? So, Amar Vimana, Mandamar Sheyeshba, Echad Me'esrim Barba, Mandamar Shenafal Letocha, Echad Me'esrim. The difference is whether the total is 1/24, right? Sheyeshba means that there is 1/24. Shenafal Letocha means that 1 fell into 24, i.e., now it's 1/25. 4% of the total. So that's the first day in the Gemara. That the machloket here is about the amount, a 24th or a 25th. The next sheet, however, in the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Yosi, Veribon Bein Kamandamer Sheyishba Bein Kamandamer Shenafal Letocha Echad Me'esrim V'arba. No. Either Gerasa, at the end of the day, the amount is going to be a 24th. So my kedon, what's the difference between the first and the second Gerasa? Mandamar Sheyeshba Vitalush. The one who says Sheyeshba says that the Mishnah is dealing with two species of seeds that became mixed when they were detached. Mandamar Shenafal Litocha. The one who says that it fell be Mechubar. Meaning that the Braita is dealing with a case where a different species falls into the field, right, and now is growing there. Now in both cases, right, the halacha is the same, that it is 1/24. Now again, obviously you can't grow it lechatchila, but again we're dealing with a case where it's the lesser amount for all the reasons we talked about before, because of bittul, because of the centrality of Marat Ayin at the Oraita level. Another issue here might be, and this is what the Mar Folden notes, that in the case of planting, right, in the attached field, so then you're really dealing with planting things together, right? You're dealing with Kilayim Pshuto Kimashma'o. And therefore, it has to say nafal to highlight that this is unintentional. Because if you intentionally put it there, so then you are planting kilayim, and then it's going to be prohibited. Now, according to this interpretation, both the Mishnah and the alternate version deal with one who wants to sow the mixture of detached seeds. The two versions differ only now the mixture came into being. The Mishnah says that it's detached species, and the other one is that they were in, it fell into the field. However, if you look at the Pnei Moshe, Shnaliyo, Ruchaim Kanievsky, they say that no. That there's two different cases. Our Mishnah deals with a mixture of detached seed, and it's dealing with the question of whether this mixture can be sown, right? Whether it's usur to sow it. And the other version is dealing with something that's already growing, and whether you have to minimize the foreign growth. Right, so we look at the Pnei Moshe. Damid in sheyesh ba mayer shayv ba betalush to shaykh alishna sheyesh ba bezara beiza shba reva zera mivun acher laman jimer shenafal tolitocha mayer b'mechubar kol shenafal letocha kodem shadar v'lo yadav arei gadlu mechubar veitza rova mivun acher etzarech le'mayer. But you have to minimize that which has already grown. Right, and what we're learning here then is two separate halachot. Is one is how much you have to minimize in order to permit planting, and the other is what you have to do in the field. But this is subject to a machloket, right? Because the implication here is that even when it's growing in the field, so then you only have to minimize it. However, not everyone agrees to this, and if you look at the Be'er HaLacha and Bet Zayin, he notes this, right? That the that Rashi and the Ravid got to Dimat, who cholek, which the Rash who disagrees, Vidaita Sarkla Korakol, Dimlogain Mechzim, Kamakayan Kilayim, Vidaita Bazemodra Abandar of Yosi, Misham the Kanikara Kilayim, that if it's growing, so then no, you can't just minimize it, you have to uproot the entire thing, because otherwise it looks like you are okay with them growing together, and that is more chamor, right? It's one thing to plant it. It's another thing for it to be growing there, for you to see it growing and to allow it. I mean, as we'll see, the issur isn't just to planting, it's also mikangim. Allowing it to continue to grow is problematic. And therefore, right there it might be more machmir, and that would be a reason to not assume that you can just get away with the mite in that case. So now the Gemara says, okay, well, how did these seeds get mixed? Manan kayamim and kavin lizra. Oh, if I was intending to plant them, afilu chita achar aser, then even a single wheat grain should be aser, because we have a rule, a ein mevatlan iser lichat chila. I mean, that's what the Rosh Shirilio here quotes. He says, "Afilo irav elachita achad also lozum b'shem deivadlan iser lechatchila." Possibility one, that this is part of the general iser in kol haTorah kula of ein mevatlan iser lechatchila. I've probably mentioned to you that there is a very interesting mystical approach that is suggested by Rabbi Yosef Engel, who thinks that the reason that bittul works at a mystical level is because whenever you eat something, what you're doing is, you're elevating the sparks, the nitzotzot, the divine sparks. But there are divine sparks in non-kosher food as well, and therefore there needs to be a mechanism for that to be elevated. And the way you do that is by it becoming batel. Well, if that's the case, why can't batel eser lechatchila? So he says, well, mystically, you'll say that those sparks weren't ready to be elevated. Okay. Now, what exactly is the nature of this prohibition of ein batel eser lechatchila, that it can't ab initio create a situation in which something is batel? So here, there is a machloket rishonim. The Ravid holds that it is all right up based on the pasuk by the El Nazir v'lakach goyin et hazroa b'sheila, because you cook the zroa, which is usher to zarim, with the ayah, which is mutter lizarim, but only there because there's a pasuk. Do we say that it's mutter, which implies that everywhere else it's usher levatel et lechatchila? Tosfot says that it is derabbanan. This far is very simple. We don't want people to go and be mevatel it. Though maybe the Doraita might not be usher, but still a genai. That's what the Rashba suggests. And the Chatam Sofer says, again, we've mentioned all these passages before, just as a reminder, that it's from the Kelev Tashlichun Oto. The fact that the Torah gives you a rule, like Yashav Shach Tinenav Achalo Machor L'Nachri, by Trefa Nevela, that you're supposed to give it to the Ger, that you're supposed to give it to the Ger Toshav, to animals. So that shows that that's what it wants to do, but that means lechatchila you shouldn't create a situation in which it becomes mutter. Now, other rishonim assume that this isn't the general rule, but it's a localized rule in kilayim. Because then it shows that you are, and this he quotes, the Rashi really quotes the sounding like the Ravid, because if you put it lechatchila, so then it looks like you're planting lechatchila. Right? And again, that's a problem by kilayim. If you're showing that you are planting the multiple species together. And you see this this idea in the Rambam. If you look in Kilayim Bet Vav, the Rambam says, "Bamed var morim b'shalonit gavein le'areit, u b'shalonit gavein lezra'a shen neim yinin shenit arvu." When I didn't have intention of planting it, either mixing it or planting it that way, I'm gavein l'arav zera b'zera acher lezra'a shen aminim afilu hayta chita achad b'doch krik kol asorim asur lezra'a v'chein kol kayotze b'zeh. That it's asur if I intend to either to plant it or to mix it for any purpose. And the Raya there says Kasha de Day Lamala Berosha Parak Amar Azul Zra them Urav Shimra Khitim Khamay Mia Mutal Israel Kavin Zura Shemin of Emir who Shami Makshuachi. Man and Kaiman Kavan Lazra Filachad Asr. Vulai Mashum Kavan Lazra Filachad Achidachar Asr. And Kavan Bishat Kino Satvua Kamar. And he knows that there seems to be a tension in the Rambam because he does quote our Mishnah that if something falls in, I'm allowed to plant it in Alechat Chila. So he must say that maybe it's that I meant Bishat Kino Satvua. When I put it together, I actually wanted it. But if, you know, I meant to, but he says, right? So maybe you couldn't come up with a new Kimta that the case. Where it would be mutter is where you wanted to eat it, and then you change your mind. And the Derech Hamuna quotes three shita. He says from the Chazon Ish, the Yesh B'zeh Shalosh Deah Didat Rabbeinu B'Shalom Nitzkayim La'arev and Ofilo Eruv La'Chila. The Chayv Nirev Chavana Chashiv V'Lo Batel. That if I intentionally mix it even for eating, he says it would be aser. U'Mashgem B'Shalom Nitzkayim L'Zriya Ha'inu Shalom Nichalei B'Zriya Shneiem. And the only case where it's mutter is where I don't want to plant both. So then I don't want to plant both. But if I want to, but if it happens, so now I don't have to separate it all out to be allowed to plant it. That's the Rambam. That's how he understands. And again, at a certain level in Kilayim, that makes sense. Meaning, if I don't mean to plant it together, so then it's about perception. It's about things like that. It's about the way I relate to it. So then it's mutter. So that's the first sheet that he quotes. That's how he understands the Rambam. V'dat harayv in yiragamke demir v'chavan afil achila asur k'dat Rambam. You know, he thinks the Ravid will say also that if I intentionally mix it for Achila, it's Usr. He just thinks the Rambam doesn't believe that. But Rakmit Arvu Mimela Dar Rambam Lachalik Shemit Chila B'Shakin Yisato Et HaTuah Ratzah Bet Arvu K'Zeru Shnei Minin Afakav D'Achakak Zara B'Stama Usr B'Chila Ratzah Bet Arvu B'Shvel Achila V'Achakak Zara B'Stama Armin D'Batla Machshav Tari Shemna. So he is a little bit more makel, the way the Chazon Ish understands him, which is if I intentionally mixed it for eating. I wanted to make trail mix, so that's mutter. But if I ever had intention for planting, it would be asur. And the Rash says, and he says, if I did it for selling, so then it would be l'isur, and that would be asur. And again, he quotes different Rishonim on exactly the case in which we're going to say that it is mutter. But again, all these point in the possibility that there might be a localized reason within Kilayim that Ein Mevatlin is Yisrael Chachila beyond the normal rules. Right. So again, Manakim Gavin La Zra Filichita Charaser Vim La Arev. Right. If I just meant to sell them, a Filokolshu Asul Arev, I can't sell it to others because again, Lefneiver or something like that. So. That when I'm removing pebbles, once I'm separating them, I have to separate everything. Right? This is what the Gemara in Bava Batra says for dini mamono purposes. That when I'm that there's a certain amount of pebbles and dirt that are acceptable in a sale, but once I separate something, so then I have to separate it all. And this is part of genome of Garmi and damages. And Amar Rabbi Yosi Zodim Reshu Asur La'arev, which tells you that you can't mix it in for selling again, not lifnever, because of Mekach HaMemkar issues, right? That if it's there naturally, then that's what people accept in a sale, right? There's a certain amount of dirt when I'm buying grain, but if I intentionally mix it in, that's Asur. Shalom Echitim Yafon Tachtein. Why does he have to separate out all the rocks and give him wheat? Right. So obviously it must be unacceptable, and therefore we see that someone selling it can't add any impurities to it. So now the Gemara asks a related question. Right. Turning to the monetary question. So if I tell you high quality wheat, i.e. Right, Venim to Brurot. And it turns out, right, so I send you high quality, but that means it's high quality, but there might be something mixed in. And instead, it turns out I got the best Brurot, clean. My Shinakala Oto Harova. Can I now deduct the amount, right? Meaning, I sell you a pound for you know whatever, 100 pounds for I don't know, two, let's say $2 a pound or $200, right? And there's an assumption that there might be up to, you know, let's say that normal would be 10%. Okay, that's not the amount, but just to make it easier, 10% of impurities. So therefore, what I'm really doing is as if I'm selling you 90 pounds for $200. But it turns out that that they're pure, so I'm telling you 100 pounds. So now do I have to deduct the amount, right? Do I have to make it up because of the assumptions of the Kenyan? So Milan, the Rabbanan Amrim, Eina Menaka, Otorovat, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Amar Rabbi Abba, Chimar Shem Rav, Barat Zerov, Ben Tochitin, Shechaver, Chayv, Laman, Lochitin, Yafot, Tachte. And he says, no, since we just said that in a case when there's too many rocks, so once I start taking out the rocks, I have to take it all out, shows in a certain case, I'm going to treat that 100 pounds of wheat, which is pure, the same as they would have 100, which is not pure because we don't apply anything else. So that shows that in the end of the day, yes, it's true that there's an assumption, but at the end of the day, if I did clear it out or it is clean wheat, so that's the price, that's what you do. And again, there's a certain variability. And again, there's you know, this points to the flexibility a little bit in terms of pricing and assumptions and the like of what exactly are the assumptions around it. And there's a certain range here. In the pricing, we don't have time to get into pricing fully, but that seems to be what's going on here. So now the Gemara says, "Be'er rova echad umechza." What if the buyer removed 1.5 rova? So now I'm left with 22.5 clean grain. Ma'ashenaklo demeoto rova. Can you deduct the value of that rova from the price you have to pay? Right, meaning because the buyer did it now, right? Right, because you pay money for the grain, you really intend, or the way the Gemara and Bava Batra and the Bavli says, really, you want it to be completely pure. But you accept a certain amount of impurity. But if you go through the work of removing the impurity, it shows that it is significant. So maybe in that case, you are entitled to a deduction in price. So the Gemara says, "Ruchanina v'raymana, ruchanina amar menakala." Ruchanina says, "Yes, you deduct it." Raymana amar ena menakala. Raymana says, "No, do amar lei for the seller can say to him ilud yavdenli, havin and tzara lon v'sirke." He says, "Listen, if you had given it to me, I would have sold the 100 pounds of flour in the way that I'm supposed to, in a nice colorful box. It would have looked beautiful." And people would have bought it, even though there's impurities, because, look, again, you can't, the Gemara in many places says that you can't deceive someone, or you can't take a really old car that's falling apart and give it a paint job and pretend that it's a new car. Obviously not. That's Geneva Dat. Geneva, really. That's deception. That's monetary deception in the form of Xela. But here, it's legitimate. You're allowed to sell it. Right. There's an understanding there'll be a certain percentage of impurities, but you would have sold it to someone else and you would have accepted the impurities. And therefore, you taking out the rock and deducting the price is actually making me lose because I could have sold 100 pounds kolel, including all of the rocks, and I would have gotten a price. And the buyer would have come and he would have bought it. Now, you're making this harder for me. I would have showed him the condition of the grain. He would have bought it. He wouldn't have deducted it. So what's the problem? Now the Rosh Shrilio changes the Gerasa and he says, Maushinakalu Dime Chatzi Arova. Can you take out Chatzi Arova? Meaning Gemara isn't dealing with a person who removed the grain, the impurities from the grain he purchased, but someone who removed purities from a merchant stock of grain. Right, so now the Gemara says, right, what is the case where there was more than a rova of impurities? And Rechanina says the payment need not include the extra half rova of impurities because you couldn't have sold that, right? So it's an inverse, right? It's, yes, the one saw yes, but the extra rova, the extra concentration, he says, right, even though under normal circumstances he couldn't have sold that extra rova, since he could have come up with a situation in which he would, so therefore you don't deduct that from the payment. So now the Gemara finishes this digression and goes back to the original case. Ella bishud arvo derech michnas. The Mishnah is dealing with a case where it came in inadvertently. as while he's being brought into the storehouse. Vatanina be'emet amru, but we said in truth, right? We contrast it with the next halacha. The zerune gina shenin echol misarfen echad me'esrim varabav enofel beit saw. The garden plants with seeds are not eaten. You combine 1/24. Vatanina lach go on kav chatzi kav a kav or a half kav in the beit saw. And for these species, an insignificant amount of 1/24 or half a kav is sufficient to prohibit the mixture into which it falls. Now, is 1/24 of half of a gav good for anything? Right? Since wheat and kidney have prohibited a saw of seed only with a significant amount of robo, why do the seeds of garden plants prohibit the mixture with a much smaller concentration? So, adkan chashlo marad ayin. So now the Gemara interest says, because we're worried about marad ayin, meaning until this point we're worried about marad ayin. From this point on, meaning less than 1.5, we're not worried about marad ayin. Right? Meaning the standard here is not the relation to the whole saw, but it's the relation to the area, right? So the Gemara here is introducing, and again, we'll come back to this later on, the idea that the reason that we judge these quantities not by just what gets mixed in, by the result of how much is mixed in the final product, is because of the centrality of perception, and therefore what really matters is how much is going to grow. Okay, we'll see more later.